I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool and let's kick it.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is everybody's favorite, Jody Hamilton. We had such a good time. We didn't even talk about politics, only one piece of good news, but the rest of the time, we just talked about fun stuff. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Jody Hamilton. Welcome back to the show, Jody.
Thank you, Kimberly. It's been too long.
I know, it's been a long time. And I was just telling you off mic that I'm in a shitty mood and it's just been really bad. Like yesterday, my patrons know that I tried to do a patrons only show and I just cried the whole time. So aww. Then I stopped and I just pulled myself together. And then I did a show for like 10 minutes where I was just complaining. And at least I wasn't crying. But what wound up happening, you know, there was a series of events that happened yesterday that one right after the other. And then my head, you know, I love talking about your inner dialogue and how you need to control it. And yesterday my inner dialogue had control of me, or at least it was really trying to grab control of me. And it was like one of those things where you're in the rabbit hole and you're just going and this and that and this and that. And like all the things that upset you and all the things that, you know, get you angry. So I was going through that, and then because I'm old now, I started to develop neck pain, and the neck pain was so bad that I swear to God, it felt like it was like releasing acid into my stomach. So by the time I was so physically uncomfortable, I had a headache, I was so tired, poor Bob. I mean, I must look like, I look like a zombie. My face is all puffy and red. And he just, every time he looks at me like, oh, like I'm like a stranded kitten out in the middle of nowhere. And so anyway, I went to make dinner and, you know, I'm once again trying to lose weight and I'm all on the high protein, you know, low carb. And last night I'm just like, fuck it, I'm hungry. And so I did have, well, I was hungry, but not that hungry. Anyway, I did have, what do you call it? It's like that lentil pasta with protein.
Uh-huh.
So I made that and then I couldn't even eat it. And I mean, that's rare. I normally can eat my way through everything.
I'm welcome not to the club.
One of those people who is like, oh, I'm so sick, I can't eat. No, that's the one thing I can always, well, that and sleep. I usually can sleep. Like most people, when they're stressed out, they'll like, they can't sleep. Not me, man. That's all I want to do. Like right now, all I want to do is lay in bed. So anyway, I've just been blabbing. How are you?
I'm okay. Unemployed, but okay.
Yeah. Well, kind of, because today you were working, right?
Yes, I'm working this week, and I worked a couple of weeks, a month ago for Chris. So yeah. I'm working intermittently, but I don't have a steady gig at the moment. But somebody did win the Mega Millions yesterday, and I did buy a ticket, so I'm going to see if it was me.
I hate to break it to you, but I already checked. This was an alien. Unless you bought your ticket in Illinois, I don't think you won.
Darn it.
But you never know, you might have won. I won $100 once.
I've won $60 once. My cousin gave me a scratch off, which I don't know how they work. And I won $70 then.
Awesome.
So that was nice. I was like, I don't know what did I win? You know, I just handed it to the liquor store guy. I'm like, I don't understand this game.
Well, yeah, I mean, what was I just going to say? I think it was last year sometime. And I think I got three numbers plus the power or the mega or whatever. So that was like $100. And I remember when I went to go turn it in to get the money, the cashier person was like, wow. I'm like, yeah, but it's just $100. I mean, I've probably spent more than $100 on lottery tickets in my life. So, but whatever. It was fun. It's always fun to win.
My dad won $5,000 in the Super Lotto when it started. And then, no, sorry, it was my brother won $5,000. And then my cousin was in Colorado visiting his brother. And they just stopped into like a gas station to get gas or whatever. And on a whim, he picked up some lottery tickets and he ended up winning like $3 million.
Oh my God. Yep. That's crazy.
Yep.
You know, there's this guy, I love to watch him. He's funny. What is his name? Timothy something. Anyway, he does this, I guess, like he does a YouTube channel and it's about lottery winners, because in the 90s he had a dream that he was going to win the lottery, and then he knew I'm gonna win it, and then a couple months later he played and he won, and I don't remember, I think it was like 20 some million.
Wow.
So he has an interesting show, because he interviews all kinds of people. Like sometimes he'll interview like the lottery lawyers, and sometimes he interviews winners. But I always love listening to the people who either had a dream about it or like knew they were going to win it or manifested a win. And there was this one guy, he won a lot. He won one of the big lottos, and he was always telling everybody in his family, like, I'm going to win. And of course everybody's like, yeah, right. Odds and junk.
Yeah, I mean,
and then
he
won. He's like, "See, I'm telling you."
And then they sued him for all that money. I mean, that's a lot of the people that win really, really big prizes. Yeah. They end up squandering it, or they get sued out of it. I mean, the movie Nebraska talks about that.
You know, I've never seen that. I want to.
Oh,
see
you
that
should
movie.
See it. It's so.
I know.
Good.
I want to watch it.
It's really, really good. It's really Bruce Stern is so. It's such a good movie.
Okay,
but anyway,
you've convinced me.
It's really, really good. But a lot of these people, they'll squander it or they get sued out of it. So when I buy lottery tickets, especially for like really big money, I'll be like, yeah, I'm not telling anybody. And it's going in a trust. It's not going in my name, because you can do that. And you have 6 months to collect your money. So you can set up a trust that accepts the money, because legally you have to kind of say who won it.
Right.
Especially in the big, big, big monies.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, nope, trust lawyers.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Definitely. Know? Yeah, it's really, I wish I could, I can't remember the name of this channel, but he's a really nice guy. You could tell he's a super nice guy. And he just like, there was this one woman, this story totally trips me out. So there was this, and I'm into the manifesting, which don't worry people, I'm not going to overly talk about it, but there's this woman who decided, and she was in this really bad way, and she didn't have any money. And then I think like her brother, something happened to her brother. I think he got killed, and Yeah, it was bad. And like he had a bunch of kids and she wanted those kids, but she didn't have enough money and they went into the system. So she decided that she wanted to win the lottery. And so she chose the number of 112 million. And I think it was based on birthdays or something like that. So anyway, and she's religious. So I don't know if
she prayed on it.
Yeah. So, but the whole point of that is she had faith. Like she had faith and she just kept trusting that it was going to happen. So it took 4 years, but it was interesting because in the interim, there was a $112 million jackpot and she played it and didn't win. And she was just like, that's okay. That's not my jackpot. I'll win.
There you go. Somebody else's jackpot.
Yeah. And then it just, I don't know when that was, but then at some point later, there was another $112 million jackpot and she won it. So, I mean, that's pretty fucking specific, you know,
it's setting it up. Very specific.
It's so interesting. There's a bunch. There was another girl on there who, this was from the 90s, and they did a, there was like a whole, you could look it up online. There was like magazine articles about it. Plus, I think she brought those receipts. But anyway, so it was sometime in the 90s, and this girl was at the time 15, and her parents had promised her that when she turned 16, they were going to get her a car. And something happened, and all that money that was reserved for the car had to be spent on whatever emergency came up.
Right.
So her mother told her, we're going to win the lottery for your birthday, and we'll get you that car. So this girl who was 15 said, you know, she goes, you know, my mom told me this. I just believed it. And so they all as a family kind of like, I don't know if they prayed on it, but like they intentionally focused on it. And lo and behold, on her birthday, they won.
Wow. Like, yeah, my friend, I had a friend, Shelley Morrison. She played Rosario on Will and Grace. Mm-hmm. And she would always say, look, if you want something, you have to be very specific.
Yeah.
Don't just say, I want to win the lottery. Say what you want to win from it and why you want to win it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just be very, very specific on what you want. And if you just concentrate on a specific and not generals, because generalities is what most people, I wish this. Well, that's not specific, people.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, she was, and I do implement that when I think about it, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's all kind of fun. And then of course with the lottery, I think part of the fun of the lottery is you just think of all the things that you would do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, I wouldn't really want to tell anyone either, obviously close family and friends, but I really wouldn't want to do, I would do the trust thing. And it's so funny because my dad said, you know, my dad was an ABC News cameraman. And so I guess they had interviewed people who had won the lottery and lost everything.
Right.
And so he always told me, he's like, if you ever win, don't tell me, don't tell anybody.
No, he's right. He's absolutely right. I mean, I used to only, because we have the Super Lotto, which is specific to California. Mm-hmm. It starts at $7 million. And then we have the Powerball and Mega Millions, which obviously is nationwide. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I wasn't buying like the big money stuff. I was just going into, as soon as the Super Lotto got up to about $15 million, I'm like, nah, I'm going to buy. And if I win it, nobody's going to care.
And then it's just, you know, it was so funny because a couple of weeks ago, I did this thing where I was just doing like a little visualization and, you know, it was relaxing and I was visualizing some, and it just popped into my head, and not even about the lottery, but it was just this idea that I was standing, and maybe you know that where this is, but I was standing in, I think it was, is it La Cienega Meeting Sunset? Is that the steepest hill?
Yeah, that's okay. One. Do not drive that going up the hill in a stick.
Yes.
Avoid it at all costs. It's like a San Francisco street. It is so steep.
No shit. And I used to do it because that's what, you know, and so for whatever reason, I was visualizing myself in California. And again, this was weird because I didn't intend anything. I didn't think, okay, I'm going to visualize this. It just kind of popped into my head.
Right.
So I was doing this fun little meditation. And anyway, it was a guided meditation. And then all of a sudden I found myself there. And it was like a pretty bright sunny day. And I was just looking all around. And I'm only bringing this up because I brought up manifestation, and this isn't necessarily a manifestation, although I do want to go to California at some point soon, but
yes, come visit.
But it, you know, it was just funny to me that this, like, and I got another little funny story, but, yeah, it was like, I was really there. It was so clear and real that it felt like I was there. And when I kind of came out of the meditation, I was disoriented.
Wow.
You know, it was like, I felt weird because I thought, wait, what? I mean, I knew where I was, but it felt so disorienting. And then the last little fun, just kind of metaphysical stuff to talk about. The other night, I was getting ready for bed and I was thinking about, okay, a friend, I used to have this friend and we don't talk anymore. So I was thinking about her and I believe she's my soulmate. like not soul, you know, soulmate, soul friend, whatever.
What you mean. Yeah.
And I, even though I don't think we're ever going to be friends anymore, I still consider her. I think like when I leave this body, I think we might be reunited, but whatever. So she and I were friends for a good long time and we're not anymore. So I thought about her. And then I started thinking about the idea of thought transmission, which is not reading your minds like in the 1970s TV show Skidsmart and stuff. It's more, it's more like, you know, hey, I was just going to call you, but you just called me first. That kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah.
So it's like I thought, okay, you know, is she thinking of me? Is that why I thought of her? And I was just having fun with it. You know, right. I was just having this idea of playing around. Like, I wonder if the reason I thought of her was because of thought transmission. And those were the words I was using specifically. So as I was thinking this, it was so weird because all of a sudden in my brain, like I did not intend this or conjure this up, but that song, Eye in the Sky, was playing in my head. And what kept playing over and over again was, I can read your mind. And it was like, so I didn't put it together. And like, and then I told Bob, I'm like, God damn it. You know, I want to go to sleep, but I've got this fucking song playing in my head and he's laughing at me. And then I thought about it. I thought, oh my God. I can read your mind. And I wasn't thinking mind reading. I was thinking thought transmission.
Right.
So it was like, it would have been one thing if I would have thought the word, because if so many times I get triggered where I'll hear words and if they fit in a song, I'll start hearing the song in my head.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, but it wasn't that. So I just thought that was kind of fun. I thought that was funny. I was like, is that a little nod from the universe going, yeah.
It could be. I got an email from an old friend of Carrie's the other day going, you're popped in my head just asking how you are, you know.
Yeah. Wow. I still can't get over that my friend danced with her in on Fame. Yeah. It's so funny to me.
Well, we're gonna have tomorrow John Cryer is gonna be on, and
oh my God.
And when Chris said that, I said, does he know it's not Stephanie?
Aw.
And because, you know,
Cryer.
We love John Cryer. But what's funny is, okay, so tomorrow on Bob's show, because now I see him all the time. now I'm with him 3 days a week.
Yes.
But so he's playing some old songs of David's, his and mine, I believe, on the Patreon side of the show tomorrow. And one of the songs, because he goes, did you have any recordings in the 90s? I'm like, background singing? You know, sure. And so I thought, because we did this movie Relativity 3 in 1995, and Carrie wrote this song called Mother Teresa, which is so wrong. Anyway, it's very, very funny. And she wrote it, as long as it takes to listen to it is how long it took her to write it.
Wow.
But the thing is it's the main song in the movie because the girl band is getting ready to do their Mother Teresa tribute tour.
Wow.
So yeah, it's the dumbest. It was a very funny movie. Anyway, and you can see it on the YouTubes. It's called Relativity 3, The Mirror Cracked. But what's funny is when Chris said he's going to be on Thursday, I said, he played our director in Relativity 3, The Mirror Cracked.
Wow.
And I last time I saw John actually was he was doing a happy hour at Stephanie's. I think I helped get him booked. In fact, I did. I got him booked.
Yeah.
And so Lonnie and I went over, and I hadn't seen him in years, and I gave him a copy of the movie because he had he had it on like VHS. I said, "Do you want one?" He goes, "Yeah, sure, of course." And he's going to zoom in. I don't know if he's going to see me or not, but he's going to zoom in. So it's going to be
exciting.
And we can have him on as long as 20 minutes. So
yeah. Wow.
That's kind of cool. But yeah, he'll be like, hi, John, it's Carrie's little sister. Remember me? But no, Carrie and her ex-husband wrote the movie. A lot of it is improv, but you know, we had an idea. Mm-hmm. And so Johnny plays our director. He's in the opening scene and they're on the rooftop of my sister's house where they were shooting the scene. And he's kind of introducing the documentary that he's about to show you. So she wrote a page maybe of dialogue for him. Maybe. He went on 12 minutes.
Wow.
And so she had to figure out how to edit it down, you know, a couple of, because it was so fucking brilliant. At one point he goes, I want a Cable Ace Award. I mean, it was, you know, for best sound, but I like stood on the sound guy and I said, you know, record stuff.
Right.
And he also, at one point it was very windy. He goes, it sounds like the Philippine army is coming in. Can we just lock down the wind?
Lock down that wind.
Yeah, as if, you know, but it was the funniest. 12 minutes, right? Wow. I don't even know if I have the, I probably have the outtake somewhere on film, but, and he just was so sweet. And it was Mother's Day when we shot his stuff. Mm-hmm. And every time, anytime somebody came into the house, I'm like, did you call your mother? It's Mother's Day. You must call her. It's 11 o'clock.
Daughters.
Exactly. It's 11 o'clock California time. I don't care where your mother lives. Call her now. And he also was so sweet. He was on a thing and he came home early to do this for Carrie.
Wow, that is sweet. Yeah. We all love him. Of course we love
him.
He's
a sweet man. And I'm so happy that he got Two and a Half Men. Because it was such a, he was so good on it. And he
that
had
was
some
a great
other
show. Yeah.
It was really funny. And he was really, really funny on it. Mm-hmm. And he had had some, you know, series that didn't, the famous Teddy Z, which I loved that show. And that didn't last because it, you know, it only, I think it was on maybe 13 weeks, if that long.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had so many things that were sputtering and he finally gets this great thing. And then he was great on Supergirl as Lex Luthor, which I'm sorry, but if you're playing Lex Luthor, who Gene Hackman played, those are big fucking shoes to fill.
No kidding. No fucking kidding. And he's great. And he's then, of course, there's Ducky.
Of course, there's Ducky.
Every once in a while, I go watch that scene where he's singing. And I just love it. It's just endlessly entertaining with the most disappointing dress in movie history.
Oh, my God. When she makes that, I'm like, she's supposed to be this great fashion designer.
Right. I know everybody in the whole world is going, what? It's like,
I see that in a couple movies where they're like, oh, the dress, this, and I'm like, no.
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 No, 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 no. It was not good. It was not.
No, you know there what? Was, they could have done it better.
I remember, oh my God, this is so funny. And I can say this now because, you know, he's no longer with us. But Harry Dean Stanton, I have a friend who used to perform with Harry all the time. His name is Jamie James. And so
I know Jamie James.
I think we talked about that, right?
Yeah, I know Jamie.
He just has a new video coming. He just texted me the other day that he has a new video out, and it was pretty cool.
Cool.
But anyway, the funniest thing was, like, I had him on my phone for all these years, and I was like, I wanted to talk to him, and I couldn't figure out how to get a hold of him. And I was asking online, and I was like, does anyone know how to get a hold of Jamie James? And I was, like, looking and looking, and then, like, one day
You finally went in your contacts.
I was like, oh, never mind.
Never mind. But, Emily anyway, Latella.
wait, what was I just going to say now?
It was about Jamie James and Harry Dean Stanton. There
so,
we go.
Yeah, that's I met Jamie. The first time I ever met him, he was playing at Jack Sugar Shack with Harry Dean. And it was Jack Sugar Shack on Hollywood and Vine. And anyway, so, I would see him play and I saw Harry constantly. So Jamie told me that one night, Molly Ringwald, because Harry played her father in that movie.
Yes,
and Molly Ringwald showed up to, like, say hi to him. And he asked, who are you?
That sounds like him.
It just makes me laugh so hard.
Well, but, that's all. Wait, okay, keep going, because I have a story with Martin Sheen.
Okay. This is why I needed to talk to you today. Well, okay. I'll just, no, you go. Doesn't matter.
Okay, so when Malcolm wrote one of his books several years ago.
Malcolm Nance?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have been more accurate on that. Sorry, listeners. Anyway, so when Malcolm Nance wrote, I want to say it was Plot to Kill Americans or something. Anyway, Martin Sheen was willing to write the foreword, but he wanted to read it first before he wrote, you know, obviously. And so I was sitting in that Tuesday on the Stephanie Miller show, and Travis was like, I can drive it over. Chris is like, I can. I said, dudes, I live closer to where the Sheens live because I live in the Valley. You guys live way far away and you guys have work to do. Why don't I just arrange with Malcolm to go pick up the manuscript and blah, blah, blah. So I went and picked up the manuscript because he got it printed at Staples, the Office Superstore. And because that's how you have to call it, right? And so I pick up this giant book. And Malcolm had me on a text chain with Mrs. Sheen. And so I got directions to their house. And so I drive over there and I get to meet Mr. and Mrs. Sheen, who I now can call Uncle Martin and Aunt Janet.
Oh, I love him.
Because they were both like, no, you have to call us Martin and Janet. I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
My brain glitches. I just can't do that. And so they invite me in. I was just expecting to just drop off the book, say hi, and you know, head home. So they invite me in. So Mr. Sheen, Uncle Martin, tells me this story. He was at a party and he was supposed to speak or something. And this is a nice dinner party, an outside area and everything. And this woman comes up to him and starts chatting with him. And he's like, God, she's very attractive. And she's like, kind of knows him, but he doesn't know why. And she says, you don't know who I am, do you? And he says, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. She goes, I'm Paula Abdul, your ex-daughter-in-law.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that's so fucking awesome. He doesn't even know that it's his daughter-in-law.
Well, he knew who she was, but he actually hid
the name.
He hid from my mother once. He told me, he goes,
why did he hide from her?
Because he was sitting near, like not near, but close enough to where you go to the restrooms at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he saw her heading towards the ladies' room and hid from her because he forgot her name.
Oh my God. Well, just FYI, for those of you who don't know, Jody's mom is Carol Burnett. So. It's kind of hard to forget, but
I mean, he hid. He's like, I said, how do you memorize lines? He goes, it's a different part of my brain.
Yeah, that's hilarious. We just love him too. I think I've told you that story and I'm going to tell it again because I don't care. But my mom and I went to an anti-war demonstration in LA at one point.
Oh, I'm
and
sure
we saw
he was
him.
There.
Yeah, he was there. And so I was like, oh my God, it's Martin Sheen, it's Martin Sheen. So anyway, we see him and that's that. So then we're heading back to our car and Martin's getting in his car while we're getting in our car. And, you know, I'm telling my mom, you know, like, oh my God, Martin's getting in his car now. And so all of a sudden he's right next to us and his window is rolled down. And, like, you know, I cannot, like, I have to say something. And I didn't want to say the thing that everyone says to him. So I don't know if he heard me, but our window, you know, both our car windows were down. So I just wrote, I love you in Sweet Hostage, which I don't know if you know, was with Linda Blair. It was like a 1970s made for TV movie, not the movie he's known for. But it was like, and he just waved at me and smiled. And it was like, I got to tell him what I love. But I did love that movie. Did you ever see that movie?
I don't think so.
Oh my God, it's such a good movie. You should totally, I think it's on YouTube. It's called Sweet Hostage. And he was totally cute. Oh my God. He was like so fucking cute. So anyway, he abducts her. And then and I'm going to spoil this, but it was from the 70s.
So. It's called Hostage. So
Sweet Hostage.
Sweet Hostage. So I assume there's some, you know, Patty Hearst things happening in it.
Well, basically what happens is he, you know, he kidnaps her and he takes her up. He's obviously crazy, but he takes her up into the woods and he names her Christabel. And like they have this.
I almost spit my water.
But they have this whole like relationship and she winds up falling in love with him.
Of course.
And then they kill him and then she's crying over him, you know, and it's like
Stockholm syndrome, baby.
Yeah, totally, totally. But it was like, I remember as a probably 4, 5, 6, 7 year old, maybe I was probably like 7 when this movie came out. And I just, you know, Linda Blair was everywhere. And I watched that movie.
Was.
I kind of like, I felt bad. I felt bad for him. You know, I mean, I'm 7. And I felt bad for him, but I always loved that movie. But since now I have brought up 1970s made for TV movies. Did you ever see the movie called Bad Ronald?
No.
Oh my God! I think that's the scariest fucking movie I've ever seen. That movie
is it a clown movie?
The shit out of me. First of all, no. But I was okay. I was probably
I was going with Ronald McDonald in my head.
No. So oh God. Okay.
Or Reagan.
Did you also see Little Girl Who Lives Down, or did you see Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane with Jodie Foster?
That sounds familiar.
Okay, that's another TV movie. Martin Sheen was in that, but the guy, I don't remember his name, the guy who played Bad Ronald played her boyfriend in that movie. So he was like a made-for-TV star dude.
Right,
anyway,
in the 70s. So, they probably all did the Love Boat together at some point as well.
They probably did. But the Bad Ronald story was that this guy named Ronald. He was a teenager, and I guess nobody liked him. He was not popular, and all the popular kids laughed.
Oh, he was an incel in the 70s.
He was an incel. And so there was this blonde girl that he had a crush on, and he was trying to, I don't know, get her attention, whatever. So they were alone, and she didn't give him what he wanted. So he, ooh, like, he grabbed her by the shoulders and he was shaking her. And I think he pushed her and she wound up falling and she hit her head on a rock and she died. So he goes home and he tells his mother and he's like, I killed this girl. So the mother like barricades him in the house. She builds this whole thing where he, nobody can find him. So she's trying to save him from the police, and then she winds up dying.
Oh,
and then
God.
This new family moves in. And so he's got like little holes in all the walls so he can like stare and watch everybody.
Ew, gross, creepy.
And it's so creepy. And then he's got all this like graffiti where he is, and he falls in love with the oldest daughter, and he watches her do everything, and he's obsessed with her. And it's so fucking creepy. So here I am, like 6-7 years old. I watch this movie.
Why is your mother allowing you to watch this shit?
I don't even know if she knew. So that night I went to go take a bath. And so I remember every fucking like it was the door crack. I'm like, right. Ronald's watching me, and you know, and it's like Ronald's watching me from that crack, and he's watching me from that, and like everything is freaking me out. So I'm like turning the bath water, and I'm not paying attention to what I do, and I just keep turning and turning and turning, and then all of a sudden the thing falls off and water comes shooting out the wall, and I started screaming. My mother's like, what's going on? I'm like, Ronald is here.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
It was so funny because the girl that I was thinking about the thought transmission, I remember telling her about, I didn't know the name of the movie. And I remember telling her, I'm like, yeah, I saw this really scary movie. And I was explaining it, and she looked at me, she goes, Bad Ronald. So like we were both like completely traumatized by that movie.
That's
oh my God.
Funny.
It's really good though. It's pretty good. Those 1970s movies were pretty good.
Some of them were.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, remember Boy in the Bubble?
Oh, I loved that movie with John Travolta.
Yes.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal did Bubble Boy.
He did. That's right. And then there was also the one, and it was, I think it was Linda Pearl and Sean Cassidy. And I think they were mentally challenged and they were a couple. Do you remember that one?
I do.
I loved that movie. That was fun.
My old dog groomer was married to Sean's little brother, Patrick.
Really? I love Sean. And you know what? Sean followed me on Facebook. Oh, no, I'm sorry. On Twitter.
I'm jealous. No, she was married to Patrick for years, and she didn't know, like, you know, she'd been grooming my dogs for a long time, and my sister Carrie was doing Three Penny Opera, and Patrick was in it.
Wow.
And so I was telling her, and she goes, that's my ex-husband. I'm like, what?
Wow.
I'm like, you were, and she also groomed Cato the dog.
Really? The one from OJ?
Uh-huh. She groomed Cato the dog.
Wow. That's some crazy shit. I remember I saw him at the Derby. What was that guy's name?
Cato Kaelin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cato Kaelin. Duh. Wait a minute. There was the dog?
There was a dog named Cato, and then
there was
Cato Kaelin.
There you go.
Because Cato had a nickname of Cato. I don't think that's his real name. Okay. I've met him a few times. He used to date somebody that... Was it a Conway? No. It was a friend of one of the Conway kids he dated. And so when we used to go to the Conways for Christmas Eve, which was forever until Mr. Conway passed
you mean,
away.
Like Harvey?
Harvey Korman. My dad got Sharky, Mr. Conway's wife, in the custody battle when he and my mom divorced. So his dad usually coming over. And then when my dad passed away, I literally showed up.
Okay.
I showed up without the invite, just showed up. That Christmas Eve, and I'm like, is it okay? And they're like, of course, you don't need an invite. You're fucking family. But yeah,
exactly.
Cato Kaelin was there several years in a row, like 3 or 4 years. Who was dating this person, really nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, I never had it. Did you ever go to the Derby?
Oh God, yeah.
You mean,
I think we've talked about this because you
know
Dax.
I'm sure. That's right. So you did. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And when did you go?
I'm trying to think. I have so many drunken memories from there. In fact, I remember this one time my friend Candace and I were there, and she was just 7 sheets to the wind and totally flirting with Dax, because Dax and Jason, the other bartender, was behind the bar.
Fucking Jason.
And so
Brock,
Dax,
I remember him. He was an asshole.
Remember him, right? Yes. And so Dax made her a gin and tonic with really no gin. Mm-hmm. And Candy sipped it. She goes, Jason, come here. Dax doesn't know how to make a drink. Can you put some more gin in my gin?
More gin in my gin.
More gin in my. It was like, it was after Swingers.
Okay.
No, it was before Swingers.
Okay. Well, then I wonder if we were there at the same time.
Oh, probably.
I bet you we were, because I was there a lot. I mean, did you ever, what's his name? There was like, he was a really attractive, he was blonde, and he was the really attractive doorman.
Yeah, I remember him.
You know, I got a story about him.
Tell, do tell. Ooh, dish all the people that ever saw Swingers. There is a phone call that is on an answering machine that I have left.
Really?
Where he calls and he says, "Hey, if I don't see you at the Three of Clubs, I'll see you at and all these other nightclubs, and then otherwise I'll see you at the Derby." Right. I left that message. Prior to seeing the film, I'm watching them. Oh, the pink dot guy too. Come on. Hilarious. Remember when the pink dot guy shows up? I'm like,
yes.
Been there, done that. In fact, there was one pink dot guy. Oh, when I lived on the other side of the hill, I would literally call pink dot because I knew when he worked to just have him deliver stuff.
Okay. So the guy, I shouldn't even say this because I'm being an asshole, but his name is Britt. And he was very cute. Talk about a guy who could do a drunk impression. He was fucking hysterical. He was really good at it. But anyway, he was like GQ, you know, he was good looking. And at the time I was seeing somebody who was living in another country and I was like crazy for them. So I just did not really have eyes for anybody else except for John Corbett. I would have gone out with him, but that's a whole other story. So anyway, so Britt would, you know, Britt flirted with me a lot. And I'm telling you, he was fucking gorgeous. He was just gorgeous. You know what he kind of reminded me of? And now I can't think of the guy's name, but he played the husband of Julia Roberts in Steel Magnolias. What's that guy's name?
I didn't see that movie.
Fuck. Okay. Well, he's a good looking guy and I just can't think of his name. And anyway, Britt was kind of like the blonde version of him. Okay. So, and he always had a GQ outfit on. He always looked fucking amazing. And we would always get in. If there was a line, didn't matter. Britt would just wave us in. He would always get us chairs. And so eventually, you know, he would flirt with me and everything. And I just wasn't interested because I was in love with this other guy. So finally, this other guy and I break up. And, you know, I say to Britt, I'm like, "Are you ever going to ask me out?" So he asked me out. And this is where I become like, I feel so fucking bad. So at the time, I think Britt was like 16 years older than me.
That's an age difference.
Yeah. He was probably 40 and I was like in my 20s. So, but he was like, you know, extremely attractive 40. Obviously we all know men in their 40s look amazing. Yeah. And so he looked amazing. And anyway, so we go out on a date and I think we met somewhere. I think we met somewhere in, I don't remember, but whatever. We were going to play pool and he shows up and he's wearing this shirt that had like teepees and cowboys on it. And I'm like, what?
What is he, 12? Does he sleep in a race car?
I was floored. And it was like, because he normally looked like GQ. And that's what I'm expecting. You know, I didn't expect him to be in a suit or anything, but the TP and cowboy and Indian shirt kind of threw me. And then so as the night progressed, this makes me look so petty. He had tiny hands. And I noticed his hands and I was like, I couldn't get past the hands. I was like, his hands are so small. I can't deal with it. And there were that was not the thing. The thing was that he was living with his parents at the time and he was driving the same kind of car that I was driving. And I just thought, you know what? He's 40. Yeah. And I'd rather, you know, the guy that I, you know, stopped going out with or whatever you want to call it, even though he was in another country, he wasn't rich or anything, but you know, he had it going on. And this guy was living with his mom. And I was just like, no.
And living with his mom because he had to, not because she needed help.
I think it was because he had to. And then I think like years later, I felt bad. You know, I felt bad for what I had done. And I tried to make it up to him. He didn't give it. He hated me after that because I pretty much ghosted him. And then I would show up at the club and everything, but I just never. So I was kind of an asshole.
Well, so years and years ago, I was working for this manager and one of the bandmates that, you know, we managed, sent somebody over, I had to go to his job. That's what it was. I had to go to Greg's job to pick up something. And there was this guy sitting. He wasn't the receptionist, but he was, you know, kind of somebody, a greeter sort of person. Mm-hmm. And he was beautiful. I mean, just beautiful. And so I walk in, I say hi to Greg, give him whatever it was I was giving him. I think I was managing them. Not even a I was the manager. Anyway, brain fart. It was 1990 or something like that. And so I walk out, go home, And Greg calls me. He goes, I forget the guy's name, which is probably for the best. He goes, he'd like to ask you out. He thinks you're really pretty. I'm like, cool, because he was really pretty. And so I meet him at his apartment in West Hollywood, which is fine. So I, you know, he buzzes me in, and I go upstairs, and he's got a lot of Nagel on his wall.
What's that?
Remember the artist Nagel that everybody had? Like, the, it looked kind of like cartoony.
Oh, okay. I think
super early 80s kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Patrick Nagel, I think, is his name. Anyway, he had a lot of that on the wall. I'm like, okay, it's fine. A lot too much, but that's fine.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, you remember? And so, you know, he goes, have a seat. Do you want anything to drink? I said, what you got? And he goes, okay, stuff. And he was wearing leather pants, and I'm already going, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. And then I see a picture of a small child. I see a picture of like a 4 or 5 year old boy. And I said, who is that? He goes, that's my son. I said, oh, you have a son. He goes, yeah. I said, how is he? He goes, I don't know. Oh, strike number two. Not that I wanted children, but dude, seriously?
Right.
So then we go down, because he was going to take me. Did we go to the Lava Lounge? Something like that.
Yeah, the Lava Lounge. I forgot about that.
Or the Formosa. I forget. It was one of the two. Uh-huh. And so we're going down to the garage, and there's like three cars, like a nice Toyota and another nice normal car and a Corvette. And I'm like, please don't be the Corvette. Please don't be the Corvette. Please don't be. And it was the fucking Corvette.
Why
naturally.
Did you want it to be the Corvette?
Because there was a vibe about him at that point.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of funny. Just kind of.
Because the Corvette costs more than his apartment,
right.
Mind you.
There you go. Yeah.
And so it's like, like if you've been in a big house with a Corvette, that's one
right,
thing.
That
but he was
sense.
In, you know, a one bedroom apartment in West Hollywood. And
oh
so we get
God.
Into the vet, and we go to either the Lava Lounge or Formosa. I forget which one. You could smoke then. So, and I was still smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally had nothing in common.
Wow.
It was awful. And so, I mean, it was really like, okay, no. No. You know, anything we talked about, we were not compatible.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So he brings me back, and it's nice to meet, no kiss, nothing. I'm like, nice to meet you. I split, come home and call a guy I had been dating, and I go, are you horny? And he knew I had gone on the date, by the way. He knew I had gone on the date, and he goes, it didn't go out well. I'm like, no. And then the next day, Greg calls me. He goes, so how did it go? I said, has he told you? He goes, yeah. He said, it didn't go well. I said, no, it did not go well.
Oh.
It was just like, it couldn't have been like, you know, when you put the other side of a magnet that doesn't go to each
right.
other,
yes.
It was that.
Yeah. Wow.
And had I been a guy, I probably would have fucked him because guys will
because
fuck.
Because they'll just do it.
Chicks.
Why not? Why the hell not? Right.
Right. But chicks will be like, no.
Yeah. Except for me. So, okay, we're not even talking about politics.
Maybe
something will come up. But, okay, so here's another embarrassing story from my life. But there was this guy, I was selling bone china and coffee and tea related accessories.
Naturally.
And, it was fun. It was a fun job. So anyway, I was in San Francisco and we were at a convention. And there was this Israeli guy who was in a booth that wasn't far from me. And he was really cute. He was younger than me. But he was really cute. And so he flirted with me. And I mean, I wasn't like, he wasn't like, oh my God, I love this guy. But
right.
You know, he was cute. He was something to do at the convention. That's pretty
right.
much, you know, like someone to hang out with.
Oh,
so,
been there, done that.
Yeah. And we didn't have sex though. We didn't do anything at the convention. We just hung out at the convention and we didn't see each other outside of the convention. But he was falling for me and he kept telling me how impressive I was and, you know, all this stuff. And so eventually, you know, I left and then he called me. He's like, I'm going to come to LA. And I think he was living in San Francisco at the time. And so he comes over and we have a date. And it was different. You know, we weren't in the convention center anymore.
Yeah.
Everything looked different in the light of day.
Yes.
He smelled like meat. He smelled like seasoned meat.
Shawarma.
Like eaten like a gyro or something, and or gyro or however you say it. He smelled like seasoned meat. And I remember he was wearing these ridiculous looking sunglasses, and his at this point, I think I was probably like 35, you know, 34 or something like that. And maybe he was 27, 26 or 27. And it was evident that there was an age difference. And so, you know, we're going out and he just keeps telling me all day long how impressive I am. And I'm thinking, if I'm so impressive, why do you smell like meat? Why don't you make an effort not to smell like meat?
Just take a shower after eating. That's all I ask.
So anyway, he's in my apartment and I want him to leave and he won't leave. And I didn't want to be rude. You know, I just did. It was clear he liked me a lot. And I just was like, I didn't hate him or anything. I wanted him to go, though. And I'm thinking, it's not going to work. So the embarrassing, humiliating decision that I made at that point was, because I knew he wanted to have sex.
Just
and
F so him.
I just thought, I'm just going to have sex with him and then I'll leave. And that's pretty much what happened. And so he left. And my friend was like, I can't fucking believe you did that. And I'm like, I didn't know how to get rid of him, but that got rid of him. So I just didn't care. And I'm like, we were safe. We used a condom. It didn't matter. And so, he called me and I had to tell him, and he was like, he was so devastated. And I remember, aww, I called my mother and she's like, well, because I said, I feel so bad. And, you know, and I was going on about it because you could tell he was crushed. I'm sure he was crushed for a period and then he was fine. We barely knew each other, but you know, he had in his mind, he had made me into this, whatever. He kept telling me that I had to go to live with him on a kibbutz. It's like, that's
oh my God,
ain't never going to happen. No. I am not a kibbutz woman, but, and my girlfriend was laughing about that though. She's like, yeah, I can really see you living on a kibbutz, but, it's like, yeah, so sometimes women do that.
Yeah, well, okay, so one more story about like a walking 8x10. So my friend Emily, who used to date my old roommate, and then they broke up, but Emily and I remained friends. She met this, stunningly beautiful human. Like, Ryan Reynolds body, long hair, just gorgeous, gorgeous human being. Dumb as a brick. So she had him come over. She's like, will you, I met him at the teaser and he's really pretty and everything. I don't know. I said, well, bring him over. And he came over and it was just like, nah, I can't do it either. She's like, no, I can't. I mean, he's dumb.
Yeah.
He's pretty, but both of us were like, no. And so I think we poured him into a cab at some point. It was just like, no, he's as pretty as you are.
Yeah,
not going to happen. No. Not with either one of us or both of us. It ain't going to happen.
Wow. I so desperately. Okay. So what's the weather like there now?
Well, it was 90 degrees 2 days ago.
I don't like that. Uh-huh.
It was fucked up. It's barely spring.
Yeah.
And it was 90 degrees 2 days ago. Yesterday, it was in the upper 70s. Today, it's a normal weather, 66.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, today.
And it did drizzle like a little. It did drizzle a little today. And then Lonnie leaves town tomorrow. He's going on the road. Uh-huh. He's going to Japan for a couple of days. And then he's on the road for a couple of weeks. And he's like, it's cold. I'm like, yes, thank you. Because he just got a bunch of firewood. I'm like, yay, I can use it.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to go to 79 on Saturday, which I don't like, but it won't be humid. So I'm okay with that.
That's better.
Today I think I'm looking right now, it's saying 47. This is what I like. You know, it's funny because we had a pretty cold winter and Bob was not happy about it. I was. I'm like the only person on the fucking planet who loved this winter because it was cold.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And you know, we don't turn the heat off. Wait, I'm sorry. You're trying to say something and I keep
talking. No. Lonnie's the same, like Bob. Like, he gets cold.
Right.
Yeah. Last night, Lonnie came home because his band is here. And he came home at like 8 o'clock. And I had the window open, which it wasn't that cold. And as soon as he walked in, he closed it. And I'm like, I know. I want to kill you.
Ongoing thing with women and men. And, you know, it's so funny, though, because we live in an apartment, so... And it's one of those fucking corporate apartments. But anyway, they want to come off and turn our heat off or turn our heat on. Like, you can only have the heat or the AC available. You can't have both available at the same time. It used to be different. And I don't know why the laws changed or the rules changed. And so I was like, no, because there, every once in a while, you know, we have these days that are warm, and because we're high up, it's
the heat rises. Yeah.
And it's like all during this winter, like, we didn't have any main heat. We have a fireplace that gives off heat, and then we have space heaters and stuff like that. But, and it's fine. But if you didn't turn on like any kind of heater and you just had the windows closed and it was maybe 19 degrees outside, it would be like 64 inside.
Wow, that's warm.
So, yeah. So it's like, I mean, it would get cold at night because I like to sleep with the window open. So, you know, I mean, Bob likes to call it Hurricane Alley, which is the window. It's like there's the window on the side of the, like, we have our bed, and then
you have the refrigerator.
But it's like to the right, or yeah, to the right is the window. And then he kind of walks to, we're in line of the fan. So I have the fan on and the window open, and it's like, you know, 5 degrees, and he's got it. He calls it Hurricane Alley. Although the window is never open if it's that cold.
Right.
You know? But it's like, if it's in the, plus we have a balcony. And so the balcony kind of, I don't know, it gets in the way, so that it's warmer on the balcony, and it's just the cold. It's not as cold coming in, but whatever. I was just, you know, I mean, I hate the summers here. I hate it with fucking passion. Like, you don't even know. And so I love when it's chilly, and it's, for me, it's kind of like, I don't like it when it's really hot ever, but like, if it's really cold, it's kind of an event.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like everybody's talking about it, and it's a thing, and it's exciting. And, you know, you can get all, I love the cozy vibe, you know, the cozy vibe of getting under the covers and cuddling. I mean, I get hot pretty easy, but still I like to be cozy, and it's just, you know, it's just.
I'm with you. I have a bunch of fake fur coats. So when it's cold and I leave the house, I like to wear to them.
Yeah. It's fun.
Well, I told Lonnie, because he just got home on Tuesday. Yeah, he leaves tomorrow. He got home on Monday night, actually. And the whole time he was gone, which he was gone for a few days, I said, honey, I didn't have the heater on at all. And he went, why? Are you trying to kill the cats? I'm like, the cats are fine.
The cats are fine. They have fur.
They have fur. I'm like, I'm kicking off. We have two blankets and another blanket for him on the bed. I'm like, seriously, people.
You should see Bob. I think I sent you a picture one time.
Yes, you did.
Covered up, his whole face was
covered. He looked like Kenny from South Park.
And then on top of it, he wears like a, what do you call it, like a hoodie? And then he's got.
Does he wear socks? Because that'll keep him warm. Socks will keep you warm.
He does not wear socks. He never wears socks. I mean, unless he were going to go out and wear shoes and everything, but at home, he never wears socks.
Oh, he should, because that'll keep him warm.
Yeah, but he won't do it. But he'll complain now. And he's like, we're always constantly, he's closing the window, I'm opening the window. It's that, you know, age old thing. And, but yeah, he's like, he's all bundled up. I could never fucking sleep with that much clothes on.
No.
Oh my God, it would drive me nuts. And, you know, but he does it. And now he's sleeping normally because it's not that cold. But see, we started off in March. It was pretty cold. And then it just became spring. And so, you know, everybody's happy except for me. Because I'm like, it's still March and it should be snowing. Sometimes, it should at least snow once in March. But it didn't snow at all. And everybody got so sick of the snow. And you know what? There was one time when it snowed this year. And it was wet snow. And it fucking sucked because
that sucks. Wet snow does suck.
Yeah, because then it like sticks to your windshield, and I had to scrape it up because we have a garage, but Bob gets the garage and I don't. So I have to fucking stand out there in the parking lot and scrape. And you're supposed to basically turn your heat on.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that makes sense, but it just didn't happen soon enough. So I'm like trying to scrape it and waiting for it to, you know, just kind of melt off, and it didn't. And then on top of the car, it's really hard. It's such a fucking pain. I hate it.
Wet snow sucks. I love it when it's just
nice, that dry snow.
Dry snow, and then once it's done snowing and it's clear and people have not driven yet.
It's so beautiful.
It's so pretty.
Quiet.
And the crunching.
Uh-huh.
When you
the
walk.
Crunching.
Because when I lived in Denver, there was a huge blizzard that came down to the point where the Boulder Turnpike became a parking lot. It was that bad. We got like 2 feet of snow in a couple of hours. It was insane. And so, you know, all of Denver shut down, and I had school the next morning, and they didn't shut school down. I'm like, half of my teachers live in Boulder, and they can't make it. That's, okay. So I walked to school because it wasn't that far. It was a few blocks, but it was just so pretty that morning.
Yeah,
it was like
crunchy.
And just, blue sky. So it was gorgeous.
Yeah, and then what winds up happening, though, is when the snow sticks, 3 days later, it's all black by the side of the road, and it looks
awful. And then it looks awful. It's like before anybody starts driving.
I know.
It's really, really pretty.
It is. It's really nice. And it's just, it's quiet. And it's like, there's been a couple of times when it's been snowing, and it's really like big flakes. So it's just kind of fun. I love to lay in bed, drink hot chocolate with my window open, and watch it snow. It's just
absolutely
so much fun.
I know Lonnie lived in North Dakota, so he's never going to like snow.
Right. Well, I can understand that. But, you know, I mean, because we were in, you know, I lived in California for so long and I did miss it. You know, I missed the cold weather. So I do appreciate that. But now it's like my least, aside from the fact that I don't like the summer and I know it's approaching, the other thing, and I know we got to go really soon, so I'll just be really quick, but I love to watch all these stupid YouTube videos of people decorating their homes. And there's so many of them. I think Saturday Night Live totally needs to do a parody on these people, because it's like they'll show you the overall picture, right? The big picture of their table and whatever, and then they go that they'll like explain every item. And then I got this plant, and the plant is green, and it's in a white planter, and I love the white planter. And then I bought this picture; it's black and white. And then
are they describing it for people that can't see?
I know.
Is that
it's
it?
Like, what are you doing? And then, of course, they always have to showcase their fingernails, whether they're fake or or whatever. It's like this; it's always this big deal of holding things that so you make sure to see their fingernails. And then they tell you everything. They're like, oh, I decided to put this flower next to this plant because it's like, oh my God, we can see that. Anyway. So, but I do like to watch them because I like to decorate and I like to get ideas and things like that. And now I've completely forgot what I was talking about. See, I warned you at the beginning of this, I was not having a good day.
But well, you sound good.
I sound better because I'm talking to you.
Aww.
So that's good. What was the whole point of that? I don't even remember. Oh, I know what it was. It's because, okay, so all these people who do these videos and everything, they let, you know, I love to watch the decorate for Christmas, decorate for fall. I don't mind decorate for Valentine's Day, but the thing that I fucking hate are the Easter decorations. I hate them. I like tulips, but I don't like all the rabbit shit, and I don't like the he is risen, and I'm not religious, but the whole he is risen thing drives me nuts. And they all get it. They all fucking get the same, the little bunnies that look like grass, and then they have their little pastel. I hate it so much. I can't even describe. Like, I become violent at the idea of the fucking Easter decor.
Okay,
like
here's a plan. When you come to visit, we'll shoot a sketch about it.
Oh my
Where
God.
I like the one
really
with the
funny.
Fake nails going, blah, 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 yeah, and you're that, like, yeah. You murder, death, kill me or something.
That would be hilarious because it's what they do. Oh my God. It's so funny. All right. Well, I know you have to go. You have places to be and people to see and all of that good stuff. But I will say talking to you was very helpful. And we didn't even talk about politics once.
We didn't. And see, I saved you from that.
Except the only thing that I'm going to throw in before we say goodbye, because this was the good news. There was a special Pennsylvania election last night.
Yes.
Dems took the state house and only by 482 votes. Every vote
counts.
And then they also flipped. Okay. So they flipped a state Senate seat. So, and Trump won that by 15 points.
Yep.
And that was a fucking Republican held seat for 46 years.
Yep.
So that's good news. And that's all I'm going to talk about because I don't want to talk about any bad news.
Okay.
So it was awesome talking to you. I love talking to you. It always helps me. It makes me feel human again. Thank you.
You can always call me. You have my number.
Oh, you're so sweet. And I just love you to pieces. And okay. So tell everyone where to find you.
On the blue skis. I believe I'm at Jody Hamilton. I don't know. I
Jody
think that's
the,
where
Jody
I am.
With a Y.
Jody with a Y, definitely. And then on the Twitters, which I will always dead name because he dead names his daughter.
Right, exactly.
I'm at From the Bunker JR. So.
Awesome. Well, we love you. Everybody loves you because you're just so wonderful and sweet. And it's like genuine. Everyone loves you. So thank you for gracing us with your beauty and your presence and all of that. And I'm sure we will talk soon.
I hope so. We'll be right back.
Care Talk with Laura Packard is a podcast covering healthcare in America from a progressive perspective. Our healthcare system is broken, and we all know insurance companies are out of control. If you don't have health insurance or don't understand the differences between insurance plans or have surprise medical bills, out-of-control prescription drug costs, or can't get the care you need, listen to Care Talk with Laura Packard weekly on Tuesdays. What's going to happen to your healthcare under the Trump administration? From prescription drug prices to health insurance costs, from healthcare for seniors and people with disabilities to reproductive care, from care for veterans to public health, including vaccinations. Healthcare experts answer your questions every week, and they go in-depth on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, private insurance, and more. Go to healthcarevoices.org/caretalk or search for Care Talk with Laura Packard on your favorite podcast app to listen today.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line, and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.